interviewing Miss Margaret B. Speer at my house in Lakeville, Connecticut. With her today is Mrs. Wolf, whom I have interviewed before, and also with her is her companion, Miss Tinker. Okay, here, wait a minute. No, better. All right, you are on tape. All right, and I shall ask you first to give me your name. I'll bet your middle name is Bailey, isn't it?
Yes. B-A-I-L-E-Y.
And that's a good Scottish name. And
my mother's maiden name. You might know when and where I was born?
Yes.
Englewood, New Jersey, in 1900, November 20th. So I am now 91 years old. Not quite 92.
Thank you.
Rent the stage.
Put that over. Closer. I'm going to stop it just a minute to...
I'm going to write that. You want to know how I came to Lakeville?
Yes.
Well, I came to Lakeville because my family were here. And if you'd like to know how my family got here,
I would indeed.
I can tell you about chocolate cake, infirmaries and whatnot. My brother Bill,
whom I knew,
was a first former or freshman or whatever it was called at Hotchkiss, and he got chicken pox. And my mother came up to comfort him, bearing a chocolate cake. And at the Millerton station, there was only one taxi. And there was a woman there who said she needed to go to Lakeville, and would they mind going together? And would my mother mind if she stopped at her house, which she was very sad to say she had to sell, and she would just go into the house to get some keys and then go on to the real estate office in Lakeville. And so mother, on the way, was in the taxi, which drew up at the facing down toward the valley. And while the woman was inside, mother admired the view all the way down to Kent Cobble. And when the woman came out, mother said, "Would you mind if I went to the real estate office with you?" And when she went home that night, she told father that she had taken an option on the house which she had not been inside out. He was flabbergasted, said he didn't think even she would have done something like that. But they bought the house very soon, and he was as happy there as mother was. So I was far away then, but when I came back from China, my next furlough there was Rockledge and the family installed. So that's that story.
Would you tell us a little bit about your work in China and then having to leave?
Well, I went out to China in 1925 to teach at Yenjing University, which was a Christian university in China, and I think four or five different mission boards contributed personnel to it, and I had some good friends who were there already, and so after a year in language school, trying to learn a little bit of Chinese, I then started teaching English at the Yenjing University. And there I stayed until, I don't think I can eat and talk, say it at the same time. And I was home on occasional furloughs, but otherwise I was at Yenjing at the time of Pearl Harbor, which immediately meant the closing of the university, because while the Japanese really wanted us to continue the university, we simply said we couldn't and wouldn't. And so then there was a period of just waiting while, first of all, we stayed in our own houses and did nothing. And then after a while, the Japanese moved us into Peking, And then they moved us to what was called a civilian assembly center, and other people like to call it a concentration camp, but it wasn't. And then finally, we were told that there was going to be an exchange of Japanese and Americans who wanted to exchange. And so then ultimately we came home on that beautiful, wonderful ship, the Gripsholm, which brought us home.
I was on that old Gripsholm, not coming from China, but from Gothenburg in Sweden to New York, in the old Gripsholm.
The new Gripsholm was heaven.
The best part of it was the orange juice.
The best part of it was what?
The orange juice.
Oh yes, that was a wonderful part of it.
Oh, yes, because you hadn't had any for
we a hadn't little. Had orange juice for a long, long time. Oh, it was a beautiful, beautiful ship.
And then did you go immediately to Shipley?
Well,
almost.
Well, pretty quickly, because actually we got to Hoboken, which was our home port, about the 1st of December in 1970.
I'm gonna stop this. Now we're recording again.
What am I supposed to say now?
Well, just about your family being here. If you don't mind repeating, because these are all people known in this area, that your family came because of the chocolate cake, and then because of Harry Lathrop Reed's and
the Henry Sloan Kaufman's came. And all very happy in Lakeville, very happy indeed.
Where was your father's church?
Well, father never had a church.
Oh.
He was considered a preacher and a minister, but he was not. He had gone to Princeton, and he was going to go on to Princeton Theological Seminary, but those were the days of the student volunteer movement, and he was asked to speak for that, and then he was asked almost immediately to become a secretary of the Presbyterian Board of Foreign Missions, and so he never had a theological degree, but he was later president of the board of Princeton Theological Seminary, but his job all his life was secretary of the mission board of the Presbyterian Church, and early on he made a long with mother trip around the world, which visiting mission stations all over, and he got typhoid fever in Persia and was there much longer than they had planned. And when I read now in the newspapers about the Kurds, I remember that mother rode side saddle, and father, having had typhoid fever, was strapped to his horse, and they rode through Kurdish territory.
Oh, isn't that fascinating?
And then spent a long time going around the world, and then came back and ultimately settled down in Englewood, New Jersey, where we were all brought up.
Tell him about the rug.
Tell him about what?
The rug.
The rug? Oh, well, just I have a wonderful rug in my apartment now at Waverly Heights, a Persian rug which is very, very wide and very, very long, and was woven in Hamadan, where they spent the time while father had typhoid fever. And that came home with them somehow or other, I don't know how, but it did get home. And it was is now down in my apartment, but it was in my childhood down in the hall of our house in Englewood, where I grew up, and where it was the source of a childhood game that we all played called Bear, which was that father was the bear, and he had to We rushed across from one room to another, but he had to keep one foot on the rug in order to be safe, but would then catch us if he could. And so that rug is still there in my apartment and much admired by people who come in to see
it. Probably a magnificent rug, too, with the hammer down there. Yeah, particularly beautiful.
In an extremely good shape, I think.
Yes,
I have a rug in my living room that I'm glad we can be out here because I don't want you to see it. It is full of holes, but it's a nice old one, and I hate it. I have affection for it. And now if we could hear a little bit about life at Shipley, and then I will turn off the machine and let you relax.
Well, a little bit about life at Shipley. Oh, you don't want to hear about the life of a headmistress. You know enough about schools and boarding schools.
Well, I know a lot about boarding schools, but I think the impressive thing about the Spear family is that so many of you were headmasters and headmistresses.
I know, wasn't that funny?
Yeah.
Wasn't that funny?
I don't think that's funny.
I don't think it's funny. I think it's impressive.
Yes, so do I. And I don't marvel at it. I expect it from the Spears.
Well, yep.
What, was it in the genes, or it just happened?
So. I don't know why. I don't see why it was.
Bell was almost in the same category.
Yes, he was for a while. Yeah. In his case, it didn't work very well, but that was, well, there were aspects of that that I won't go into now.
He was over at Loomis, right?
He was at Loomis, yes.
And when he went to MIT, it was not the head of it, but the head of counseling, wasn't
he? He was the, what was his title? The, I think it was called the Department of Student Affairs, and he was very successful in that. But he said one day a student came in and said, "Mr. Spears, this is the Department of Student Affairs?" And Bill said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I've never had an affair. Can you arrange one for me?"
I think that child, young boy, ought to have been watched. He was full of possibilities.
And then wasn't your sister-in-law head of Dobbs at one time?
Yes, she was.
In Simsbury.
Oh, yes, Ethel Walker too.
Are you an Ethel Walker girl?
Well, briefly, I stayed there one semester and lost 20 pounds, so they didn't make me go back.
Well, you must have been very unhappy.
Oh, I was miserable.
Oh, dear.
Fiercely homesick. You were president of the National Association of Principals of Schools for Girls. And were you president of the...
Yes, of the Headmistress Association of the East, both of them. I can't think why.
Well, I can think why. I can think why. And now you are living here part of the year and then part of the year in...
Yes.
Do you live in the same area in Pennsylvania?
Yes, in the same place.
Good. And you can go and see each other?
Occasionally.
Occasionally. Not daily, but...
Marnie is far too occupied with friends, so I join in from time to time.
I'm sure. Well, Miss Tinker, you live there, too.
Well, I'm staying there with Marnie's beard, but I don't live there. I have an apartment in Wayne, which is about 8 miles away.
Now, were you connected with Shipley?
Indeed, she was. She was our director of admissions for many years. Yeah. And she was the director of admissions when we became... Well, to put it bluntly, when we got black students for the first time. And she was the person who managed that in a very skillful and tactful way.
How many black students did you accept the first year?
Oh, I don't remember. Our first one was Betty, wasn't it?
Betty Warwick, yeah.
She was the grandniece of a sculptress who studied with Rodin.
Oh, really?
And the daughter of a surgeon. And the next one was the daughter of a doctor. We were in touch with a man who was the first black professor at Haverford College, Quaker, who said when I called him and said that the school would like to have black students, that let us manage this. We could say things you can't say. And he and his wife, who were socially very right.
Were they black?
Yes. Were able to get the word to the kinds of people who would fit socially. I remember one of the first ones that year was the little girl whose mother I came down to the lower school with in their car because they got there late. And you said afterwards, well, you came down in a Mercedes, didn't you? And I hadn't known it was a Mercedes. I just thought it was a neat kind of conservative car. And she had planned to send her daughter to Switzerland. She was in a Quaker school, and that ended at sixth grade. And this professor had said to the mother, why do you send her so far away? And she said, where would she go here? And he said, well, she might go to Shipley.
Good for you.
That was the way things came about. But it was Marnie. She was the one who...
Sure, I'm sure.
Stood for what these people wanted to be sure of, not I.
Well, our director of admissions before Charlotte was a Southerner. She would never have been able to manage things properly.
How did you get rid of her?
Oh, she had retired.
Oh.
No, I didn't push her out.
Two of my dearest friends, well, now he's dead, Russell and Mildred Lyons,
yes.
Who take credit for getting you to Shipley. Do they deserve that credit?
Mildred Lyons was very, very kind to me in settling me at Shipley. Very.
She's a very, very kind person. I see her quite often, and I should be in touch with her more than I am. She's up in North Egremont most of the time now because their house in New York requires a lot of steps, and she is not steady on her feet, and so up here she can do things at one.
Tell her, when next time you see her, tell her you have a friend who understands.
I certainly shall. I think you have earned your lunch. I'm going to turn off this machine unless there's something you want to say.
No, I think it's true.
Rose, have you anything you want to add? You said you had a couple of anecdotes.
I've forgotten them.
Miss Dinker, you've been sort of made the outside person here, and I'm sorry
for
that.
That's all right. That's all right.
You never thought of it again.
you have to have Lakeville in your background, I guess, to be recorded, but I'm grateful for your contribution. And now it's going to...
What do you think is going to happen to all of this?